Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Welcome to Simple Facts of Life Radio, where, once again, still trying to figure out what's going to be the future of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability in the United States. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon, where, near as I can determine, things are a little more peaceful than we've been accustomed to. Could it be the holiday cheer? Could it be the colder weather? Or could it be that I'm just not paying attention to what's going on? Maybe a combination of all of those. If you'd like to join the show, the number here, as always, is 949-272-9588. Now, some of you may have noticed that I wasn't here last week. I announced somewhere that I wouldn't be. It wasn't like I just didn't show up. What had happened, there was a family thing going on, which turned out to be something of a waste of time. What it was actually was someone in my wife's family, a rather well-known person, had passed away toward the end of October, and they got around to having an online memorial service, which just happened to be scheduled for when I was going to, would normally do the show, and rather than reschedule the show, I just decided not to bother because, probably should have done the show simply because the memorial service, I had sort of expected, you know, like a Zoom meeting, get-together kind of thing, and what it ended up being was a pre-produced and not all that well done video with some people sending their thoughts and this and that, and they should have just put it up on YouTube as opposed to, you know, scheduling a stream and making all of us show up at some specific time. But okay, there it is. Got through that. Now I'm back, and strangely enough, things are, what's going on is largely what I probably would have talked about last week anyway, but I wanted to start out with something. The gist, I kind of knew old news that just I just saw yesterday. And it goes back to something I talked about last summer, and just an update on that. And the subject was the USS Bonhomme Richard, which had a fire last July while sitting at the pier in San Diego, and it burned for days. And the update is what I just saw, what came out yesterday, was that the Navy has in fact decided to scrap the ship. Now, that's not unexpected. There was considerable damage. Would have cost a whole lot of money to repair it. I don't know that it would have cost more than building a whole new comparable ship to replace it, but I don't know. That was their decision. They will, of course, try to salvage as much as they can from it, you know, as they always do when they decommission and scrap a ship. But what really got to me about it was it sort of got me to thinking because, okay, the ship had a fire at the pier. It should not have gotten nearly as out of control as it did. Although I understand that, you know, when a ship, it was at the pier for a long-term overhaul, upgrade to some of the systems, that sort of thing. And what normally happens in those cases is a lot of the crew is transferred off when they normally would be, but they don't replace them on a man-for-man basis like they normally would when somebody gets out of the Navy or is transferred. Well, they just do with a smaller crew, and then as the ship gets ready to get back into normal operations, they build the crew back up. I've went through that on one of the last ships I was on. Okay, fewer people, a lot of the people that are there are away, so a smaller crew, it can get out of hand, you know, when a fire happens. They do do a lot of things to try and make, you know, lessen the chances of fires happening, but, you know, because there's a lot of welding and hot work and that sort of thing that can cause fires. But nonetheless, here's the thing about what a lot of people don't understand about the Navy is they should have been able to deal with it, even a smaller crew. There are always people on watch. There's roving patrols, people that walk around the ship and, you know, should have been smelling smoke, sound the alarm. There's an import fire party. They should have been able to get people there in time to get the fire out before it got anywhere near as bad as it was. Even with a reduced crew duty section, I mean, one fire in one part of the ship should have been able to be taken care of, because in the Navy, and what a lot of people don't understand is something every sailor is supposed to be able to do. Just like, you know, in the Marines, doesn't matter whether your job is a clerk or a mechanic or a cook or whatever you do. I mean, you are expected, if you're a Marine, to be able to grab a rifle and put some serious hurt on the bad guys. Well, in the Navy, yeah, we have people who are supposed to be able to grab a rifle and put some hurt on the bad guys, but for most of us, that's not our job. But what is everybody's job is you're supposed to be able to put out a fire, isolate leaks, just general damage control, keep something under control until the specialist can get there. Every sailor is supposed to be able to do that. And how a fire at the pier, even with most of the crew ashore, they should have been able to get a dozen or so people there. You should have been able to get a fire out pretty quickly before it spread. I'm not understanding. And the fact that a fire in port could do that much damage to the ship, a ship that cost, it would have cost like billions of dollars, you know, to replace that ship and, you know, or to build a ship like that. And how that could happen just is kind of mind-boggling in so far as, you know, ships are supposed to be, Navy ships, warships are supposed to be able to take some damage and keep on fighting. Because, yeah, now that ship was, it was a very large ship. It was an amphibious assault ship. Looked sort of like an aircraft carrier. It was being what it was. The upgrades were to handle some, you know, new aircraft. So that's the whole thing. But, okay, sure, it was not a battleship, which was, you know, heavily armored, designed to take a lot of damage and keep fighting and, you know, shake off a lot of hits. Wasn't that tough. Nonetheless, now the first ship I was on in the Navy was an oiler, basically a floating bomb. Now, not designed to take a whole lot of damage, but that's okay because it was designed to sort of stay back, stay out of the fight. Yeah, if the fight happened to get to that ship, well, you know, do the best we could. But the idea is to have the fighting ships between the bad guys and us. And then if they needed their fuel, they'd come sort of to where we were, and we'd take care of them. The Bonhomme Richard was an amphibious assault ship. Their job was to carry, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 or however many Marines it was, and put them ashore. That was what that ship was designed to do, which means you kind of got to go into the vicinity of the bad guys. And this is a big ship. It's like one of those things has a huge bullseye all over it. And this ship was able to be rendered, you know, unusable by a fire at the pier. It makes me wonder. I've been seeing, you know, a lot of this sort of thing going on, and just what I've been seeing, they like, the Navy has been going cheap on a lot of things. They built a class of small surface combatants, littoral combat ships, they called them. Only been around for a few years, and they're already getting to the point where they're being retired because they were worthless. Sure, they were kind of low cost, but still, in all, you're talking quite a few million dollars each. Waste of money. Now I've got this brand new, most expensive ship ever built, the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier. Can't get it to work. because, well, all the things that in the older carriers work just fine, like the elevators for the bombs, well, they had some new design. Doesn't work. United States Navy's been using steam catapults for decades. They work just fine. But for the Gerald Ford, they have these electromagnetic catapults, and maybe they work. I don't know. Been building a lot of ships that don't seem to work as well as they should. This is upsetting. I don't know. Okay. Didn't plan on talking about that nearly that long. I didn't really have a whole lot of notes here, just a lot of subjects I wanted to talk about. But, okay, we had an election about a month ago, and, well, President Trump has not conceded the election. His lawyers are still fighting. But what's happening? Nothing. They haven't really shown us anything. I'm just, you know, a lot of us who supported the president, we're really hoping that they come up with something. But we've been hearing for weeks about what they're going to prove. We're going to release the Kraken. We're going to show this. We're going to show that. I'm getting tired of hearing about what they're going to do. The clock is ticking. It's running down. They got to come up with something really fast. I mean, last time I was here, 2 weeks ago, I said, we need to have something by the end of that week. Okay, it's been 10 days since my last deadline. Still aren't hearing much out of the various little minor things that have gone to court. The president's lawyers have lost almost every case. A few little wins here and there, but normally pretty quickly reversed. I don't know what's going on, but you know, what it reminds me of, you ever see these things maybe come across time to time? There's this these various clickbait types of things you see. There's a company, I think it's called like Stansberry Research or something like that, you know, would put out these ads for, you know, the upcoming crash and what you have to do, you know, click on this to find out how to avoid this. And what you get is a video, except it's not really a video. It's just a bunch of screens, you know, saying and narrating. And if you watch this, and I've clicked on this a couple times, and sometimes I watch for a long time, and all it is somebody saying, you've got to watch this video because we are going to tell you what's going to happen. And click here for more information and watch this video because we are going to tell you what's going to happen. And you need to keep watching and you need to do this and we're going to. And I'm like, stop telling me what you're going to tell me and tell me what you're supposed to tell me. Okay, this is what we see happening. And this is how we can help you. And this is how much it's going to cost you to get our help. But I've seen these things. I mean, I turn it on and I walk away and I come back a half hour later and they're still telling me what they're going to tell me. That's kind of where Trump's lawyers are seeming to be. They're not coming up with evidence. They're telling us how much evidence they're going to present, or how, what they're going to prove, getting tired of hearing about what they're going to do. I mean, do it or shut up. Okay. But there's, I saw something, you know, a couple days ago here, and it kind of caught my eye, because this is something we've known for a while. The media, you know, everybody knew that they were all in for Biden in the election. And all, so many things, you know, from the Tara Reid, you know, allegations against Biden doing precisely what they tried to make a big deal about Trump making a joke about, to Hunter Biden and all of that, and all of those deals and the involvement and the Tony Bobulinski, which the media completely ignored. The Tara Reid allegations. There was a really good interview I saw on the media. It was on 60 Minutes, except not the 60 Minutes you might see. It was 60 Minutes Australia. Australia took that story seriously. Interviewed Tara Reid, heard her story. 60 Minutes in the United States, not so much. They didn't do anything. And what I saw is there's a Media Research Center polled 1,000 or more than 1,000 Biden supporters and asked them what they knew about all this and if that would have changed their votes. Oh, let's see. Yeah, 1,750 Biden voters, 7 swing states. 82% were unaware of at least one of those stories. And 17% of those people said that they would have abandoned, they would not have voted for Joe Biden had they been aware of these stories. I mean, I was aware of these stories, but most of the Democrats, they don't watch 60 Minutes Australia. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how I happened to come across that, but there it is. 60 Minutes in the United States did not tell the story. Had 17% of the people, you know, or would have, put it this way, if 17% of the people that voted for Biden had not voted for Biden, either voted for somebody else or just not voted at all, then what would have happened? Trump would have won the election. So, the media, we don't have a media because they're not covering things. And, boy, that brings me to the next thing that I wanted to talk about here, because just to show you what's happening with the media, okay. We heard that the old story came out, Joe Biden was playing with his dog and had a little minor fracture in his foot, and he'll have to wear a boot, okay, you know, to walk around. Well, I've been there, sure. Well, Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, been around forever, big liberal, party line, all that. Well, she noticed that Biden team didn't really come right out and say this as quickly as they could. I mean, this supposed like happened on Saturday or something, and nobody, you know, didn't hear about it until Sunday. And okay, now that doesn't strike me as weird because there's no big deal. But Andrea Mitchell just mentioned that. See, gee, I mean, how come the Biden team wasn't so transparent and forthcoming? And wow. Anyway, what is the Twitter? Andrea Mitchell was accused of planting the seeds of mistrust and laying the foundation that will allow her to speculate about. Okay, Andrea Mitchell is being canceled simply because she said something just about Joe Biden maybe not being forthcoming. I'm not understanding this. I'm just not understanding this. The media become the Ministry of Truth. We no longer have a media. If you can't even suggest anything, if you can't say anything in the least bit questioning about Joe Biden, I mean, after 4 years of people being canceled for inadvertently agreeing with Trump on anything, and now the slightest instance of perhaps Joe Biden maybe not being just completely forthcoming is caused to be canceled? The slightest deviation from the party line? Wow. Okay. Unbelievable. And I'm running short on time. Only got a minute and a half left here. I won't be 4:07. I see you there, but I won't have time to get your call. There's one little bit of interesting news I just saw shortly before I came on the air here. It seems that I guess this happened actually a while back, but it's just now announced that the Durham investigation has been somewhat changed. It is not simply a Justice Department investigation, but it is a special counsel investigation. That gives him a little more powers. And what it also does is it means that it will be a little harder to end the investigation should Joe Biden take office. Technically, he can fire the special counsel, but it looks bad. Well, it would look bad if we had an honest media.